Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 526 of the Bold and Brave Her podcast. Now, today I'm joined by Dr. Brian Mathis, and you're going to understand why. All right? So I even wore sort of a sleeveless outfit here to dedicate it to the whole point of this episode, which is all about how to enjoy the sun safely. And it's not what you think, because high tech is involved. This is going to be so totally cool. Dr. Mathis is my go-to for all things sunny, as we say in the business. So he is a board certified dermatologist. You could tell by his gorgeous skin. And of course, I wore my beautiful skin. And a Mohs surgeon, specializing in general surgical and cosmetic dermatology. And oh my goodness, he's from the University of Kansas and Des Moines University. And oh my gosh, what I can tell you right now, right? He is the past president of the Kansas City Dermatologic Society. He's a member of damn near everything, and he's contributed to numerous dermatology publications. But what's most interesting is this little project he's gotten himself involved in lately, including high tech. I can't wait for all of you out there in the Her podcast land to hear about this. Brian, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me, Pam. This is awesome.
Okay. So what got me really going here is not just knowing about your tech, which I was so excited to learn about, but what was really weirding me out, okay, is an article that came out, and it was called Burn Notice, Gen Z and the Terrifying Trend of Extreme Tanning. What the hell is that? They've got nasal sprays, injections, sunbeds. This yearning for a tan outweighs the risks. What is this whole trend? I would think that Gen Z would be like on top of the program out there and already learn from their predecessors that baking in the sun is not exactly the safest way to go here. What is going on here, Brian?
I think so. Thanks for bringing this up. I think it's an important thing to talk about. I think that what's going on is the influence of social media, and influencers on platforms like TikTok are changing the way people think about information. They're leveraging the social proof of Instagram and TikTok and holidays and tanning and trying to make tanning cool again. And I think we have to remember that the motivations of Gen Zers are not the same motivations of us, right? Our motivations when we were younger were different, and it doesn't make it right. But I think our goal and our challenge is to motivate them to change our behavior in the right way and not just with information.
Huh. So what? So they're sitting in tanning beds. So what does that do to you?
So tanning beds are, I think I joke with patients that they look like a coffin for a reason. And they use mostly UVA light, which is not the strongest part of the sun. And basically, they tan you with 1,000 times more light than you get from sunlight in about a 20-minute time period. So people are just wanting to look good. But I think we need to remember, too, that being outside feels good. And when you get tan, or you get even outdoors, your body releases endorphins, like feel-good hormones. And people like that. And so we have to figure out a way to motivate them based on looks or based on anything that motivates a Gen Zer to maybe change course and change decision.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is, you know, busted when I was younger, right? I came from a generation, this is when dinosaurs ruled the earth, I believe. I think that you got some fossilized something out there about me. But, and I even, oh my God, I did Johnson's baby oil. And I marinated in the sun. Now, here's the good news. That didn't last long because I'm like, I'm not feeling so great. And as anyone could tell from my complexion, I am light skinned, very light skinned and complected. And my mother was a redhead with like ivory white skin. So interestingly, she passed away at the age of 97 with nary a wrinkle because she always was like buried under 16 hats and avoided the sun because she knew. So, okay, I did that. I actually used a tanning bed once. You know, a bunch of my girlfriends and I just decided to do something wild and crazy. So to your point, when we're young, we're idiots, okay? And understanding that the executive part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, does not fully develop until the age of 25. This was well under the age of 25, okay? So I was just like not thinking. And after I got out of that, I felt the way you just said, which is the coffin thing. I said, that was weird. It didn't feel right. I'm all kind of red and everything, and this is all stupid. So I did not repeat that mistake. But you know, when you're young, you just sort of screw around. You play around and stuff works, stuff doesn't work. Happily, I hopped on the SPF wagon as soon as it emerged, because it just, by that time I'm a physician and whatever, it just like, okay, I get it. And I don't want to get skin cancer and whatever else is going on out there. So, all right. So I just really want to give a shout out to Gen Z. Love every one of you. I do. I love you. Love you. But I'm just saying that maybe this trend isn't like the world's greatest. And since I have that t-shirt, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, maybe you might want to think twice before you start baking out there. I even saw in the article that I think it was one of the couture runway shows, they actually had a model with some fake skin burn on her to give a shout out to extreme tan. And like, what? That is crazy. All right, now you are the dermatologist. What is this with injections and nasal sprays?
So the melanotan, there's a couple types. That one is kind of illegal. The second, melanotan 2 is not a approved substance, but they can sneak it into cosmeceuticals, especially overseas, because it's not regulated. So people can find this stuff on Amazon. They can find it lots of places.
But what does it do?
It stimulates the melanocyte. Technically, it's a melanocyte-stimulating hormone that artificially stimulates melanocytes to give you a tan without the other, you know, a tan basically is just a response to UV damage. So I joke with patients that tanning is like a black eye from the sun. It's just a response. It's an immune response to protect the DNA because of UV radiation. So that's not very sexy in the room, but that's just what it is. And so people who want to be tan and don't want to use self-tanners or don't think they look great are turning to these injectable or intranasal sprays to try to become tan because they see people on holiday and they like the social proof, even though these tanning products have all kinds of side effects from kidney failure to priapism to like all kinds of things that nobody really wants. But, you know, as you said earlier, people often don't make the best decisions in Gen Z. And I think the thing that's also concerning is that Gen Z also spends the most money per month on skincare. So they're like undoing some of them, not all of them, but they're undoing all their, so they're wasting their money because the best skincare, as you know, is sunscreen and sun protection because 90% of the way your skin looks is from the sun. So it's kind of oxymoronic that they're tanning yet spending the most too. And so hopefully we can get them motivated to change. That's the goal.
Okay. I mean, really, Gen Z, listen up. Okay. And all you Gen Z moms out there and all the rest of it, let's get this message to them because this ain't right. And we love them and we want to make sure they have the best opportunity to be able to have great health, avoid cancer. And honestly, listen up now. Okay. I'm giving you a little heads up, a little skins up. Right? As you age, you look like hell if you end up with that leathery, nasty, wrinkly, black eye skin, as Dr. Mathis said. So please. All right. Now that we've gotten that Gen Z thing off the plate, because man, that was just like, that triggered me. It's like, okay, all right, we're not doing this. I have to put on the maternal hat and just sort of take care of my little Gen Zs out there. Now, one of the reasons why I'm so excited to have you on, in addition to your expertise as a dermatologist on that little issue, is because you are a geek, all right? So you founded a company. It's called Eclipse RX, a health technology company developing technology focused on smart sun lifestyle behaviors to improve skin wellness and aging. Okay, you got me at smart sun. I like that. Okay, smart. You see, smart watch, smart whatever, right? I want smart. Okay, so, and then you came up with something wild and crazy. I had never seen anything like it. There's nothing like it out there, really. And it's an Apple Watch compatible smart band. And what the heck does this band do?
Well, the band is it's called Beruv. It's named after butterflies because butterflies are wise with nature. They have something called UV vision, so they can change behavior because they can see UV. And they also have things in their wings that help reflect UV. So they're delicate creatures that can see or have UV vision and change their behavior. And
ooh, I want to be like a butterfly. I'm not kidding.
Me too.
That's so cool. The first time you told me that, I went outside, of course. I'm walking my beloved German Shepherd. And there's like 1.5 million butterflies. Thank God for that. And oh my gosh, all I could think of was I looked up at the sun and I looked down. The butterfly said, "You're smarter than I am." And we have smart watches. That's a smart butterfly. All right. It's the way that one works. So it was named after the butterfly, which I think is so cool. Now I think of you and I think of a smart butterfly. All right. Now, what does this technology actually do in the band?
So what it does is it gives you kind of peace of mind and hope outside. It measures sun exposure, or more technically UV exposure. And we invented this idea called true sun exposure. What that means is we can measure the UVA and UVB and then customize it to your skin and your sunscreen. So we give you this metric, like a sun calorie, to help you change your behavior. And that's what it does.
So how does this work? So here, I would say like 90% of people out there have an Apple Watch or something like it and back and forth. So how does this actually work?
So you basically, the band, you take off your band on your Apple Watch and then you put on our band. And then on the onboarding, when you download the app, it goes from your phone to your watch. And then all you do is select your skin type. And everyone has a skin type 1 through 6. And we walk you through the process pretty simply. And then you tell the watch, or you pre-program the watch, what SPF you put on. And we take your skin type and the real world use of sunscreen. And we give you a number that's based in 100 years of science to act upon. Or we call those numbers rayons, as a kind of play on the sun ray on you. And so basically, you select 3 zones to live in: a beauty zone, a balance zone, or an active zone. And if you live in the beauty zone, your skin won't age from the sun, which, as I said earlier, 90% of the way your skin looks is from aging from the sun. Or you live in the balance zone if you want to make a little vitamin D and are maybe a little less concerned about how your skin looks, but still want to stay sort of under the radar, if you will. Or you set your watch to the active zone, which means I'm going to be at the pool, I'm going to be at the lake, but I don't want to get pink from the sun. And my watch is going to remind me to reapply sunscreen based on my skin, because we have the patent on telling people to reapply, which is what they forget to do most often.
Oh, interesting. And so how often are you supposed to reapply?
Well, technically, every 2 hours is what's said. It's what's on all the sunscreens. But that, it doesn't take into account your skin type or the strength of the sun or your swimming or whatever you're doing. It's a very nebulous approach. It's just supposed to cover everything. And so we'd rather you apply based on your goals and based on your skin and your sunscreen. And that's what Beruv does.
Huh. So I've always wondered about this. You know, I've spent a lot of time doing marathon, and it's not like in the middle of a marathon to go, "Just a minute, please. I got to reapply my..." And the triathlon especially is a pain in the ass because I'm wet now. Oh, great. And the longer I was in the water, well. And so You know, what's really interesting is that people don't really say what to do for people who are active. Some of us just throw up our hands and say, oh, to hell with it. And I'll just sort of make it up as I go along. I have a very famous trademarked phrase. It's called MSU, make stuff up. Just make it up. Just kind of go out there and it sounds good. I don't know. It has nothing behind it, but that's okay. It's entertaining. So that being said, it's hard sometimes. And the other thing too is the weather changes a lot. So can we be cavalier when it's cloudy out?
I don't think so. I think we want people to be protective all the time, but just be make it a habit. I think we want to make people motivated to have the habit of wearing sun protection daily. I say in the room all the time, I say, you wear your seatbelt whether you're going to Texas or Target, and you never don't wear your seatbelt. So when people say, well, I just wear sunscreen when I'm going to be outside, that's like saying, I just wear my seatbelt when I know I'm going to be in a wreck. And people really underestimate how much sun they get on a routine basis when they're shopping or in and out of their car or even in their car. And I think Beruv solves this problem with frictionless technology that just is with them all the time and can guide them on having them have the best skin they can have.
It's interesting. I think one of my first aha moments a while back was when some panel I had been listening to, dermatology, said, you should definitely wear SPF even if you're in the house. Okay, why, Brian?
Well, I think the biggest reason is because the windows in your home block some of the sun, but not all the sun. So the windows block UVB, but they don't block the UVA rays. And so they call the UVA rays the aging rays and the UVB rays the burning rays. And so the reason why is because you're still getting sun exposure. And even if your skin doesn't change at all, there's no perceptible change beneath the skin, there's problems. And that's what we're learning is that people use the guardrail of, well, I don't burn, so I'm fine. But the damage happens so much sooner. And I think that's why skin cancer rates are still going up and people are spending billions of dollars on anti-aging when if we could just get a hold of them a little sooner, we could prevent all these issues.
Well, that's what got me going, honey. It's called save my money. If you think I'm going to just have my whole face scraped down to nothing and then do it again just because I was too lazy to stay on top of my SPF. You know what's really helped? Whenever there's a new technology and a new kind of awareness that's being raised, it really helps when you have celebrities hopping on board. So you probably out there in the Her Podcast land seen that Anne Hathaway, when she goes out, she is like a nutcase about making certain her skin is absolutely covered and 100%. So she's made very popular some sort of total body, but very comfortable sun clothes. They kind of look like leggings and maybe almost like a unitard kind of thing where you have a top and a bottom or maybe even all together. Who the hell knows? And then the hat, the sunglasses, and really covering up even the hands with those, you stick your fingers through the thing. And so that you can do that, because I always love it when I see a woman go, oh, I've never had any work done on me. Then I look at her hands and I'm like, mm-hmm, girl, I know how old you are. And there are your hands and there's your face. Okay. Now, not that there's anything wrong with that, but let's all fess up. Okay. Be transparent. So that being said, I think that Hathaway and others, I think one of the Kardashians who hangs out with her does the same thing. They've made this stylish and they've really brought this to the fore. Now, prior to this, you know who was really on top of this were the Japanese. The Japanese are like crazy people about this. Those women have absolutely ivory skin and they want to keep it that way. So I remember being snarky and nasty. I was. Brian?
I can't believe that.
Seriously?
It's shocking.
Shocking. It's terrifying. When I would look at them going, oh my God, check out, first of all, the hat is the size of Texas, right? And then we've got the gloves going, and then we've got the total body thing happening, and sunglasses as big as my entire chest. And so I would say, okay, that's like crazy. I remember the first time I saw that was actually in Hawaii, because there's so many Japanese there. And the other place is in Vancouver, a lot of Japanese. And now I'm like, girl, you are on to something. You know, like, there we have it. So I think that's really helping your case. Don't you think, Brian?
I do. I think that the more people that are cultural leaders, if you will, so celebrities, et cetera, who behave in a way that is sun protective, the better it is. And I think the other thing that's helping, and I think the benefit of our business and what we want to do, is that people are never not going to want to look young. That's never, people are never going to be wake up and say, I really want to look older than I am. And so I think the more information we can get and the more people are motivated to stay looking young, the more they'll change their behavior and culture will catch up and it will be great for everybody.
So there's a whole beauty play here that's extremely important. Obviously, since I'm a physician and you are too, what we're interested in is health. And the last thing we want you to see is a bunch of cancerous growths and, God forbid, melanoma and that type of thing. And tell me what's going on now with the rate of that type of thing with young people.
It's continuing to increase. I think skin cancer is more common than all other cancers combined. In the U.S., we diagnose it every 9 seconds. And Gen Z skin cancer rates are increasing because of their behavior. It's pretty clear. And the sun is stronger than it's ever been. So we have this sort of perfect storm happening where we have adventure seekers, Gen Zers, who are motivated by social media and not necessarily by health information, are behaving in a way that's driving their risk up and then their skin cancer rates up. And then we also have the sun and the heat. The globe's never been warmer and the sun's never been stronger. So we have all these things converging to create a real health crisis and a real concern for us from as a physician standpoint. And so I think we want to leverage the motivation of beauty, because whether you care about health or you care about beauty, you get both when you protect your skin. So you can really, we know that people are 4 times more likely or 4 times more motivated to wear sunscreen to prevent wrinkles than to prevent cancer. So we have to jump on the bandwagon that gets people to do the behavior we want. And right now, that's definitely beauty.
All right. Now, when we come back, I want you, Dr. Mathis, to tell us all about this vitamin D thing. All right. The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. And we're back. All right. Now, vitamin D. Now, people are all confused. They're saying, well, wait a minute. You're telling me that it's important to really stay out of the, well, not so much stay out of the sun, but just like be extremely careful and balanced and all the rest of it. At the same time, you also tell me that it's very important to have vitamin D on board, right? And so how do you do that?
I think it's tough. I think that right now that people don't intuitively have a sense of when they've had enough sun to make vitamin D. So people just stay outside longer because they think they're getting more vitamin D. But as you know, the body can only make so much and it's done. So my metaphor is that you don't, if you have a gas powered car and you put your, you go to fill up, you don't just put your gas in and walk away for an hour and think you're going to get more gas. At some point it's going to spill all over. And so the way I counsel patients for vitamin D is I say, take it orally. Just take it orally. You don't need to rely upon the sun, because if you really are going to use the sun, then in the middle of the day, you really only need about 5 or 10 minutes. And I just don't find, in my experience, that most people are really disciplined enough to only be outside that long. They typically are outside much longer because it feels good and they're getting those endorphins and they want, and some people want to be tanned. So my MO is I just take it. I take 5,000 international units a day and I don't worry about the sun. And so when I get my vitamin D checked, it's awesome. And I just keep rolling.
Okay, now you said something very important. So I'll do a little share. A number of years ago, I just decided on a whim to get my vitamin D done. Now, as you know, that's not routinely done. It is now much more so. But then, this is like about 15 years ago-ish. And as you know, I'm a Pew Scholar in nutrition and metabolism. So I'm always looking at those supplements and nutrients and making sure I'm right on top of everything. So I was a triathlete. So I'm outdoors. I'm all arrogant going, hey, I got more vitamin D. I mean, I could share it with a small population in South America. Come on. And so I had the level done. And when it came back, my physician called and said, Pam, I got to share something with you. Your level is 17. And I went, what? No, that's impossible. You got somebody else's level. She goes, no, girlfriend. Yeah, that's your level. This is not great. So for everyone out there, vitamin D is very important for your immune function. It's actually been found to be exceptionally helpful as a anti-neoplastic, in other words, fighting cancer, and as well as a whole host of other issues. It's extremely important. So I was just shocked. After I picked myself up off the floor, I ended up actually on high dose prescription level vitamin D for a number of months to bring myself up. And during that time, I had genetic testing done, and go figure, I have a polymorphism. That's a fancy word for a screw up at my vitamin D receptor level in my body. I didn't know. Who knew? Been walking around like this. So I went ahead and now I'm on a level of vitamin D that is carefully titrated, you know, basically measured up with routine vitamin D levels done once or twice a year just to make sure I'm 100% and my levels are wonderful. What kind of levels are you actually looking at? Vitamin D has been an interesting one, as you're well aware. Brian and I kind of like wink, wink, because this has been fought over by quite some time. So the recommended daily allowance and the actual recommended levels have now increased, thank God. For a long time, it was like, oh, you're fine if you're 20, yeah, 25, 30. No, the sweet spot actually is 40 to 50. And when you get that number back, I'm not going to overcomplicate it for you guys out there, but I absolutely want you to get your level done and demand this of your physician. I want my vitamin D level done, period. End of story. Okay. And don't take no for an answer. Then look at the number. You may be shocked to see how low it is. You may be shocked to see that you're right on the number, whatever. But as it turns out, globally, there have been many studies in countries where you'd say, no way do they have a vitamin D deficiency, you know, like Australia, New Zealand, Canada, where they've got a hell of a lot of sun. And lo and behold, it's much lower than normal. Why this is occurring, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. However, that being said, you can solve this problem by simply getting a level done and then working with your provider team to figure out how much you should take a day. So for me, whereas Brian is taking 5,000 IUs a day, right? I'm actually taking closer to 7,000 to 10,000 because of my problem. And so it has to be customized for each person. Now, that being said, I stay on top of that. I do, when I go outside and I'm with my German Shepherd, I'm definitely getting some vitamin D, no question. But I do one other thing, Brian, and I'm really curious about your thoughts. So once I got kind of hep to the fact that, rot-row, we got to watch this whole sun thing, right? I invested in SPF clothing. What is your thought?
Yes, I do the same. I use SPF clothing quite a bit. I think that it diminishes a person's need to wear sunscreen over all their body because sometimes people don't wear it because they don't like the way it feels. It's too thick. Where clothing just doesn't fail either. Sunscreen, the effectiveness of sunscreen, as you know, Pam, is based on the volume and nobody uses the right amount. Whereas clothing, you just put it on and it's there. It's frictionless. It's easy, straightforward. Yeah, I think it's a home run for people. It's just one other tool to help them live in a way that they want to live with regards to the sun.
Well, that's what Anne Hathaway is using too. And there are some very good companies out there that make this stuff. And I happen to use, and I have nothing to do with the company, Coolabah, which originated from Australia. And their stuff is very reasonably priced. And I have, oh my gosh, I have more hats. And the hats really are interesting because I like the ones that come all the way around my head. They protect my neck, the sides of my face, obviously my face itself. And there's just a bunch of them out there that you could use. And they're very fashionable. They look really cool. And so I wear those and I kind of walk around with a little attitude saying, I know something you don't know. And these are all SPF 50, right? They're SPF 50. And I wear their leggings, I wear their loose pants, all the rest of it. And this is when I'm like hanging out. This is when I'm hanging out. Now, if I do go out and I do my athleticism, I'm like a nutcase about making certain I slather on everything I can. I really try to go for those products that don't make me look like I just painted myself white. Aren't there products out there, right, Brian, that not like the old fashioned, oh, she's wearing sun protection because she's all white. So what's out there?
So there's, I mean, the sky's the limit for products. There's new technology coming. There may be a new filter approved for, there haven't been any new SPF filters approved in the United States for over 20 years. So there hopefully will get a new filter in the Q1 of 26, which would be really great. It's a chemical filter, but we don't seem to think that there's systemic absorption, meaning like it doesn't get in your bloodstream like some of the current filters do. But there's so many products out there that there's no way that a person can't find something that works for them. And a little tip that I think is helpful is sometimes it's better to use a lower SPF because you use more of it because it's more cosmetically elegant and you actually get a higher SPF on your skin because you're using a higher volume. Whereas if you use a high SPF that's really cosmetically icky, for lack of a better word, it's too thick, it just doesn't feel right, you use less and you actually get a lower SPF. So sometimes there's a great product by EltaMD that's an AOX mist spray. I don't get paid by them to say this, but it's really great because it's a 40, it's a mineral, it's a spray that you rub in and it just rubs in nice. So when moms go to the pool, they often use the same sunscreen that their kids are using. So why not give mom and kid a great product to use? And I think that's a great spray for the pool. If you're motivated to find a product, there's a product for you.
Huh. Okay. And then there's tinted products too, which I kind of really like because I'd like to have a little bit of a sort of that little bit of a glow look without looking like something they just pulled off a mortician slab, which is I have to kind of fight against. But there are serums that are SPF 50 that aren't white and weird. So what's the difference between a serum and the regular stuff?
I would say the serum is just a different vehicle where they put the nano or either microionized or nano technology zinc oxide in. I think it's just whatever is the most elegant for you. I think the challenge with serums or there's brushes that you can powder on SPF. Some of those, the challenge is that the volume you need to use to really meet the SPF needed is so high that it can be a very expensive endeavor, or it's just too nebulous. If you put on a powder, are you really getting good coverage? The serums, is there really enough in the serum to do the work? When it says SPF 50, they're not lying to you, but they don't tell you how much to use. It says apply liberally, and that's not very clear. No other, Pam, you would never have a patient just say, hey, take this medicine liberally. Good luck, right? That would never be how we operate. And yet that's how sunscreen's done. So I would say find a product that you love that you'll miss if you don't wear and wear it every day.
What about products that promise that you could use it for body and face? True? False?
I think it depends on your skin type. Some of the body products are a little bit thicker and people are concerned about acne typically from their sun protection products. So the products are made differently for the different parts of the body. And so it's not wrong or anything bad to do. It's just that you may not like the way it feels on your face versus your body if it's thicker, and it may be more likely to break you out or be comedogenic, cause acne, because it's just a thicker formulation for your body. And when you have the higher oil glands on the face, it doesn't always sometimes mesh.
Someone once told me something quite smart a long time ago, because I was like I pay attention to my face and really get into it. And then I forget my neck. So the rule is whatever you do to your face, you do to your neck. Correct?
Yeah. And the back of your neck too. And so areas that when patients come and see me, they're like, oh, I never go outside. And all I have to do is look at the discrepancy on the back of their neck and the rest of their skin. And I can tell how much they go outside. But no casting judgment. Just that's how people think. They don't often appreciate mowing the lawn or going for a walk with a German Shepherd or whatever. They don't appreciate that over time that just accumulates and accumulates. So tricky areas to remember are the hands, to your earlier point. No one wants to say, wow, my hands look like my mom's. That's never a compliment. And then also the top of your feet, because those are easily areas that get burned and they're not always areas that people remember. So front and back and neck, hands and feet are sort of bonus areas to remember when you're protecting, when you're being outside, say for at the pool or the lake or somewhere socially.
So I was also asked by one of my team members, what about visors? Like, what about the top of our head? This is assuming you're not bald, but you know, if we've got some hair cooking and all the rest of it, is that protective enough or should we kind of avoid visors or what's up?
The hair, so your scalp hair can give you an SPF of about 8 to 15.
Wow, I didn't know my scalp hair had SPF.
Yeah, cool. Right, yeah. So it's totally cool. So it's your own SPF that you make yourself, just like beards can help men. I would say if you can tolerate a regular hat, I think it's better. A very prominent dermatologist in Kansas City, his best friend played golf in college and always wore a baseball hat, and the baseball hat had a hole in it. And at that site, the golfer got melanoma and died from the sun exposure through the hole in his hat. So I think the point is that if you can wear a hat that's UPF or most even non-UPF clothing or hats have some protection, the advantage of UPF clothing is that you know it's protected and it's usually made in a way that's easier to tolerate outdoors. But my suggestion of what I do is I just wear a hat. I'm lucky that I have all this hair, but I don't want to risk getting a scalp lesion that's because there's such a delay in diagnosis because people don't see it. Or unless you can get your hair cut or styled, you might not even notice. So a hat is definitely better than a visor.
What about your ears?
Yeah, ears are why baseball hats aren't good enough. We want people to protect their ears. I tell patients every Monday I cut off parts of people's ears from cancer because they're out there and people don't protect them and they don't think of them. It's like your neck analogy, Pam, where you say what you do to your face, you should do to your neck. You should probably add the ears because they just get pounded from the sun. And unless you're wearing a bigger hat that protects them, like a bucket hat or a regular hat, or some people wear a cowboy hat or whatever, sombrero, who cares? Just protect your ears because you definitely don't want me cutting off part of them because of skin cancer, because that's unnecessary and can be pretty traumatizing to patients.
Yeah. So let's look at a little summary of something, you know, of everything that we've been saying. So number one, you young people out there, clean it up because you've got some issues if you don't. And if you want to experiment, God bless. You know, we've all done it, been there, done that. But we're just trying to give you a heads up here. Your skin is a real living organ system. It's a real biome, the skin biome. And it's very, very important to honor that. You can't just sort of blow it off. I mean, people did it for years. Yeah, I get it. But everything from cleaning your skin appropriately to making certain you moisturize it to making certain you protect it is so vitally important, especially in a wild and crazy world where the climate's changing a bit. It is definitely hotter. I can attest to that. And I'm watching myself very, very closely. So I'm slapping all the appropriate SPF on. What you just said about the lower SPF and the higher volume, I didn't know. I did not know. Ooh, I got another one for you that one of my team members just reminded me. And that is, what about makeup? What does makeup do?
So makeup has SPF in it, as you see on the label. What I tell patients is that I don't want patients relying on their SPF and their makeup because most women don't prefer to wear the makeup that thick. Like if you don't, my joke a little bit is to poke fun at Tammy Faye Baker, right? We remember how much makeup she wore. And like nobody wears makeup that thick typically. So my rule of thumb is don't rely upon the makeup as an SPF. Ideally you would use in the morning, you cleanse with your cleanser that's non-sudsing non-drying that takes off the night. And then you use your antioxidant typically. That would be sort of like I'd compare it to an airbag and a seatbelt. So use your antioxidant, vitamin C, ferulic acid. There's a whole host of them. And then you could use a moisturizer over that. And some sunscreens, you could skip the moisturizer component if it's moisturizing enough. But typically a moisturizer, then your sunscreen, and then your makeup. And in that order, you're going to have the most protection. But I tell people to rely mostly on their sunscreen, not the sunscreen in their makeup. Although you are getting some physical blocking and some benefit, I just don't want people to skip the sunscreen stuff because they're not getting anywhere close to the SPF that their makeup is saying it has in it because they're just not wearing near enough.
Okay, so my team member is whining now and she's saying, okay, I get all that. I do all that. And then you tell me that I'm supposed to keep reapplying the damn thing and yet I have makeup on. Help!
So I think that's where our product, our Bruv, our Apple Watch band comes into play because you only need to reapply if you're getting exposure. And if you know what your exposure is, then you know whether or not you need to reapply. So I would say oftentimes patients or people or humans or whomever, they don't need to reapply because they're not outside. Our Bruv gives you real-time exposure information based on your zones you want to live in to reapply. That said, if you need to reapply, there are some awesome options. There are mists that have SPF in it that you can lather over your makeup. So I think it's not realistic to expect a woman to take off all of her makeup and then reapply the whole shoot and match with reapplying sunscreen. So I would use and encourage people to use either a mist or a powder, an SPF powder. And they make great SPF 30 or 50 powders. And they make, quote, setting mist that you can spray over your makeup that doesn't make you look like you've been crying or you went in a rainstorm, but it just makes you feel peace of mind and protected outdoors. So in summary, the powders and mists are the way to reapply over makeup.
Okay. Now, are you going to be coming out with your own line?
We have a line for Bruv that we will make we'll make it easy and simple. We have a moisturizer, an antioxidant, a cleanser, and three sunscreen options, a serum, a tinted sunscreen, and a sheer sunscreen to make it easy. This is not complicated. To get the most bang for your buck, you need an antioxidant, a really good sunscreen, a moisturizer, and a cleanser, and that's it. And then at night, we'll have a retinol that will be also help to build collagen. And those are the foundations of beautiful skin. That's really all you need. So snail mucin and beetroot and carrot juice and all this other stuff people buy, it's okay, but the foundation is what matters the most.
Okay. I'm hearing you loud and clear. How do people learn more about this amazing Bruv, this Apple Watch compatible smart band, which is going to be, you know what it reminds me of? Of course, this moment I'm wearing my Aura ring. And so my Aura ring slaps me in the head with my sleep readings first thing in the morning saying, girl, what were you doing last night? I mean, your numbers are way off. Or I get a little A on my report card and then I feel very happy and I dance around the kitchen. So that's a very good thing. But it sounds like to me, Bruv is going to be my sun beauty, my smart sun way to be able to stay on top of my beautiful skin biome, right? So how do people learn more about this?
Yeah, I think our advantage with Bruv is that we can stop premature aging and sun damage in real time. So the difference between that and the Aura ring is that your Aura ring didn't wake you up and say, hey, Pam, you need to do X, Y, or Z. It just told you at some level what you maybe already knew, right?
Like when I screwed up.
Yeah. When I have a 7-year-old that somehow doesn't want to stay in his bed ever. And so when I sleep in my Apple Watch, and it says your sleep disruption is 1,000% greater than normal, I'm like, no kidding. My 7-year-old kicked me in the head all night. Of course it is. So I think the advantage of Bruv is that we can help you in real time. And I think that's a rarity among, if you consider our product a fitness tracker for the skin, most fitness trackers don't help correct your behavior in real time. And that's the advantage of our product. And so people can learn about Bruv at www.bruv.com. We're on Instagram at bruv.band. We're on Facebook with the same. And so, yeah, people can learn all about it there and join the mission for beautiful, healthy skin. We're in it to win it. And we're excited about this opportunity to provide something that's never really been frictionless before. And that's what we're doing with Bruv.
I feel like I have basically a sun beauty friend with me when I have the watch band on, because it's always with me. And to your point, it's reminding me like, hey, girlfriend, yo, UV's up. And what's happening with that? You know what I also notice is a lot of weather apps now have a little notification first thing in the morning. Hi, and here's what's going to happen today. So it's going to be a high of 98. It will feel like 112, and the UV index will be blah, blah. So be extremely careful and blah, blah. Okay, so that told me that first thing in the morning. I promptly forgot the whole damn thing. So I love the Beruv. I think that that's fantastic. And I love the fact that the last two letters are UV, right? That's the way I remember it. And I think that this is going to be a woman's companion for sun safety and sun beauty. Because yeah, you can enjoy the sun. We're not asking you to live in a closet. It's just you have to know how to do that. And you need a guide and a friend in real time. To your point, Brian. Brian, I can't thank you enough. Tell them one more time how they can learn more about the product.
Sure, please. Yeah, you can go to Beruv, www.beruv.com, and then you can see us on Instagram and Facebook, and we're getting the message out, and we're excited about helping, you know, hopefully millions of people with this awesome technology.
I love it. Brian, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast.
Thanks, Pam. This is awesome. I'm so grateful. Thank you very much.
And everyone, we've been talking to Dr. Brian Mathis, who is a dermatologist and the founder of that company that has put out that cool new tech, Beruv, an Apple Watch compatible smart band, all about sun safety and sun beauty. Whew. All right. Thank you so much, Brian. I want to also thank my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins. Ah, those vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature, and the new Her Life Stages products. And also, vitamin D. We have vitamin D. Solaray has an entire assortment of vitamin, mineral, and herb supplements to be able to help you on your health journey. So run on over to Solaray, Solaray.com. And now take a moment. Leave us a review because we love to hear from you. Oh, so this has been a production of Podcast Health. I want to give you a reminder, and that is your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. Thanks for staying with us and listening to all this incredible messaging. And at the same time, get on out there and seize the day. Carpe diem. Thank you, everyone.